Dominic and I are going to be starting a series on the book of 1 Peter, and it's become one of my favorite books. I keep changing favorite books every time I start studying a new book of the Bible, but 1 Peter has become one of my favorites. The series that we're going to be talking about, I'm going to title it, and I don't know what Dominic's going to title it, but he's not here, so I get to title it this time. I'm calling this series... Declaring the Excellencies of Christ in Word and Deed. The book of 1 Peter teaches us many things. First among them is that we have been saved by the blood of Christ for the purpose of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this world. This must be done with our mouths. But 1 Peter also teaches us that this declaration must be matched with the lives that we live. Believers in Jesus Christ declare the gospel with both our mouths and our deeds. So 1 Peter teaches us that if we talk the talk, we must also walk the walk. But he also teaches us that if we walk the walk to which we have been called, we are also to talk the talk. 1 Peter begins with these words, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're not really going to be spending time in the book of 1 Peter. I want to look at the life of Peter, the author of this book, that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. I want us to see that Peter's journey of faith serves as a wonderful basis for the understanding of the book of 1 Peter. But I also want us to see that his life is an example of how one can declare the excellencies of Jesus Christ in both word and deed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, we come to one of my favorite stories about Peter. He and another disciple, John, had gone up to the temple. The temple was that place where Jesus had enraged so many of the religious leaders. And Peter, he goes up to this temple and he heals a man who could not walk. This healing amazed the people, so Peter didn't stop at amazing the people with a trick. He began to declare and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ had died and that he had raised from the grave. So the temple officials arrested Peter and John for their preaching. The officials questioned Peter and John, and the apostles continued to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, even though they knew that they might be killed for it. Acts tells us in chapter 4, verse 13, that as the temple officials observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They were recognized as having been with Jesus. And we read a little further in Acts, and we find that all of the disciples, then called apostles, or the sent ones by the Lord Jesus Christ, all of them were flogged and whipped mercilessly by these authorities. And what was their response? Did they complain? Did they call their lawyers? Did they fight the leaders who were whipping them? No. Acts tells us that they went on their way, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. And the text tells us that they came back to the temple every day to continue teaching, even though they knew they could be arrested and killed at any moment. What courage! We read these stories about Peter and we're inspired. Peter truly was a man of God. But he wasn't always that good and bold. Let's look at his earlier life and see how he gained this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time we meet Peter, he was then called Simon. He was born Simon, not Peter. He was a fisherman, a young fisherman, on a boat with his brother Andrew. They had been fishing unsuccessfully all night. And then Jesus came. He climbed up into their boat and used it to preach to the people on the seashore. And when Jesus was done, he told Peter and Andrew to go deeper into the water and to cast their nets to catch fish. They objected because they had worked all night and they had caught nothing. But they were amazed as they saw that their nets were cast and filled the breaking point. And this truth that Jesus would say after this would be confirmed by the fact that their nets were overflowing. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was promising them that he would use them to reach lost souls. But they were just rugged, hardworking fishermen. They weren't preachers in training, like me. They were regular, ordinary, get-your-hands-dirty men like some of you. Like I said, the man we know as Peter was born with the name Simon. But when Jesus meets him, he gives him a new name. His new name is Peter, which means rock. This new name is significant, as names in the Bible times are. They're significant. You see, rocks are hard, unchanging, dependable, and firm. But as we look at the life of Peter, he was anything but unchanging, dependable, and firm. In fact, he was impulsive and often reckless. In Matthew 14, when Jesus sent his disciples across the sea on a boat while he went off to pray by himself, the disciples ran into fierce storms on the sea. As they were fighting the waves and the wind, they saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter cried out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come walk to you on the water." So Jesus told him, "Come." And Peter became the second person in recorded history that I'm aware of to walk on water. We are amazed at his faith, his bravery, his courage. But that very same faith and courage is equally matched by his lack of faith and his lack of courage. As he walks on the water, he begins to look around and he sees the winds and the waves and he becomes frightened and he begins to sink. The faith in the Lord that had been holding him up on the water was being swallowed up by his fear. Jesus rescued him and he asked him, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" From intense faith to intense doubt, hardly an invariable, unchanging rock. And then we come to a similarly powerful moment when Jesus asks his disciples to tell him who people think he is. Peter then makes this first and great declaration. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus makes this stunning declaration. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." What privilege, what honor. Peter was the first to declare Christ and would be the foundation of the church as the first apostle, and we are likely to get very excited about Peter. But then in the very same conversation, Peter fails us again. When he learns what this declaration means, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, he learned that this Messiah would suffer and that he would die. Peter takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. Can you imagine the chief of the disciples of Jesus Christ rebuking the one through whom all things were made and in whom all things hold together? We are astonished as this hero, Peter, is in return rebuked by Jesus with these almost horrible words, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but men's." The climax of Peter's life comes as Jesus prepares to go to his death. The disciples and Jesus are meeting in the upper room to celebrate the Last Supper during the Passover. Jesus makes it known that one of his disciples will betray him by handing him over to the religious leaders. We know, because we know the end of the story, that this man was Judas. But the disciples didn't know, and they were discussing who it was that was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus turns to Peter, and he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." I imagine some of you here have wondered if Satan has asked to sift you. As 1 Peter tells us in this book that we're going to look into, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, to destroy. But remember this: greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Stand firm against Satan who desires to destroy you. The Lord will strengthen you, for Scripture says, "No trial or temptation has overtaken you except for the trials which are coming on to others." But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you might be able to stand up under it. When Jesus tells Peter that Satan has asked to sift him, Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail you." Peter, in his characteristic boldness and confidence, and with perhaps the most resolution of his life, cried out, "Lord, with you I am ready to go to both prison and to death. And I will never, never deny you, Jesus." "Before a cock crows," Jesus replied, "you will deny me." When Jesus was betrayed to the authorities, it seemed Peter was going to be true to his word. He took out his sword and cut the ear off of one of the temple guards. It was good for Peter that Jesus immediately healed that man's ear. You see, Peter still did not understand what was happening. Jesus would have to suffer, and his kingdom was going to be different than what Peter had expected. So the authorities took Jesus, and though the disciples had all fled, Peter and John followed Jesus at a distance. As Jesus was being questioned by the religious leaders, Peter sat beside a fire. John tells us it was a charcoal fire. He keeps as close an eye on what is happening to Jesus as he can from a distance, while members of the temple guard gather around the fire. And some of them recognize Peter. "You were with Jesus, weren't you?" And Peter makes a stunning claim, words that are chilling to even consider. "I do not know him. I do not know him. I tell you, I do not know him." Can you imagine? "I do not know Jesus?" Had he forgotten those words of Jesus that "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent"? "I do not know him." Just then, a cock crowed, just as Jesus had said. Luke tells us that as they were sitting at the fire, and as Peter was emphatically denying knowing Jesus, it says that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt as his eyes met the eyes of Jesus, whom he had just denied? The text tells us that he went out and he wept bitterly. The thoughts running through his mind must have been intense. As Jesus went up to suffer his miserable death, it would not be Simon Peter who would bear the cross of Jesus up the hill when Jesus could no longer bear it. It was another Simon, Simon of Cyrene. And it was not Simon Peter or the other disciples who would be crucified next to Jesus, but criminals and strangers. So I am sure this was running through Peter's mind as he wept bitterly. Can I ever be forgiven for this betrayal? Can I ever be forgiven for this betrayal? I imagine some of you have that same question. Can you be forgiven for the sins which you have committed, even those sins where you have rejected Jesus or his goodness to you? Never forget that the Lord God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He keeps loving kindness for thousands. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And he pays the penalty of sin on the cross for those who repent from their sins and trust in him. Peter, this rock, did not seem such a rock. He blurted out with such seeming boldness. He made such firm resolutions. He gave us so much hope. But the greater the firmness of his resolutions, the harder he fell. What Jesus would tell him is true. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. So why would Jesus name him Peter, or rock, this symbol of firmness and dependability? Jesus named Peter rock, not for what he was, but for what he would become by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. The scriptures are clear to make known that Jesus forgave Peter. When the women were at the empty tomb wondering who took Jesus, an angel appeared and said, "Jesus has risen. He is not here. Go tell his disciples and Peter, go tell Peter." And the scriptures are clear to say, to make this point, that the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon Peter. It seems that Peter was thinking of returning to his fishing trade when Jesus appeared to Peter. In a wonderful turn in the story of Peter's life, just like when they first met, Jesus told Peter and the disciples with him to cast their net on the side of the boat to catch fish. And just when they had met, their catch of fish was enormous. This time it was too big even to haul in. They gathered around that charcoal fire for breakfast, the same type of fire where Peter betrayed Jesus. And they ate their breakfast. Imagine that soothing aroma of a charcoal fire. This couldn't be missed by Peter. I think that's why it's the detail in the book of John. It brought him back to that betrayal, but it reminded him of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. While they're sitting there eating breakfast, they finished eating breakfast. Jesus pulls Peter aside and begins to question him. "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And it was the third time that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" that it really began to pierce Peter. You see, Jesus had seen Peter make bold declarations before, only to fall flat on his face. Jesus is not satisfied with promises and words. Peter's love must be confirmed by his obedient actions. Jesus wanted Peter to mean business. He said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Love and obedience does not consist of words alone. It must be accompanied by obedient deeds. Peter's declarations would need to be matched by obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the same for you and for me. Our promises and pledges are not what the Lord asks for alone. He asks for our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What changed in the life of Peter to make him truly be the consistent, dependable, basically unchanging rock that he would become later in his life? What would make him turn from a reckless yet fearful man into a bold and faithful man? What would turn him from one who denied knowing Jesus when the going got tough to getting tough so that the world might know Jesus, as we saw at the beginning of this message? Peter finally submitted to the work of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. You see, the Spirit, our spirit, is willing, but the flesh, our flesh, is so weak. But the work of the all-powerful, life-transforming Holy Spirit can sustain even the weakest of us. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Let him control your life. Quench not the Holy Spirit in your sin and in your lack of faith. Ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit, for the Father in heaven gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Let him come and take over your life, just as Peter's life was taken over by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit who transformed the life of Peter is there, is yours to be taken. He will come and control your life if you ask. Submit, ask, seek, and knock. For those of you wondering if there is forgiveness for you, remember Peter. The Lord wonderfully used Peter to establish his church, to which we attest tonight as we gather here. There is forgiveness for sinners, and the Lord can still use you, even though you are a sinner. That's all he's got to work with. You might want to know the rest of the story of Peter. The book of Acts tells us that Peter was arrested at least twice, and he was miraculously released. But the story kind of trails off on the life of Peter as the Apostle Paul becomes the central figure in the book of Acts. But church history tells us what happened to Peter. Peter took the gospel to Rome. While he was there, Christians were persecuted for their faith, and Peter became a victim of that persecution under Emperor Nero. He was to be executed in the same way as Jesus, on a cross. But Peter objected. He believed that he was unworthy to be executed in the same manner as his Lord Jesus Christ. So he requested that he be hanged upside down on a cross, in a different position than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he died. He was no longer the man who... He was no longer that man who would deny his Lord, not with his words or his actions. He no longer would trust in his own strength, power, or resolutions, but rather on the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter's life and story is one of redemption and hope, and it gives sinners like you and me hope as well. But this hope can only be fulfilled as we trust and rely on Jesus Christ and on the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. the man who had run away from persecution and suffering, would not fail or deny his Lord again. It's a beautiful story, and it is a story that gives hope to you and to me. And as we look at the book of 1 Peter, where he encourages us to stand strong against this world, against the sinfulness of this world, against the persecutions of this world, and against Satan who wants to destroy you, he encourages you and me to live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to declare the excellencies of Jesus Christ in all that we say, think, and do. I look forward to the next few weeks as we look at this book and we look at this man who has been a foundation of the church. But I beg you, I ask you to take time, beg, ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit to take over your life, to control your life. He will strengthen you. He will help you face those trials and temptations. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I've said a lot of things, and Lord, I want what you want to come across. I pray that the life of Peter that we've looked at tonight would be an encouragement to these men. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come upon us and that you would take control of our lives, that we would submit to the will and to the work of your Spirit in our lives, that we would stop trying to do this work on our own, with our own resolutions and our own boldness, but we would rest and rely on the boldness that you give us in our obedience to you. Let your word do its work in our lives, Lord, and help us to be obedient to your word. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.